Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and I've got my friend Lynette Renville here with me. We're going to be talking about being a mentor and what it's like to be a mentor. We both are mentors to large groups of women, and we wanted to just give you an inside peek. So kind of we're going to talk about what goes on in our brains and also the unique personal perspectives that we have about God, life, and leadership. We'll talk about how we prepare for one-on-ones as well as large group sessions and what clues we watch for in ourselves and in others that can expedite healing, growth, and joy on the journey. So whether you are a mentor, a mentee, or someone who's just considering getting involved in a mentoring relationship, we welcome you today. Our guest today is Lynette Renville. She is a mentor, speaker, author, and coach who helps women pursue and build ministries. So excited to have you here with us, Lynette. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Marnie. Oh, I just love you. I'm honored to just be having this conversation with you and, you know, getting a peek inside. We can talk for hours. It's just so precious time to be together.
Yeah. And, you know, for you guys who are tuning in, just to let you know that we're just people. That's just it. We're just God lovers. And maybe let's just maybe what's on your mind. I'll maybe start, Lynette, and give you a second, but I'm going to just share something that's just on my mind, like right now, like what I'm doing. And one of the things that I love to do is God will put a question in my, all of a sudden I'll have a question about something, just anything, whatever. And I just love to just go and grab my Bible and grab my, you know, Strong's Concordance online and do Bible searches and just figure out what God says about it. So that's like what's on my mind right now today. Let's see. I've been thinking about this morning. I think I already have about 5 pages from just this morning. But I'm going to flip back here because there's so much already going on this morning in my head, in my heart. Yeah, that God is pure good, that God is so good, and he's pure good, and he is inviting us into his goodness. So I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. So both, I am both covered by God's good, and also I'm inside, you know, I'm inside of it as well as he's inside of me. I mean, it's like this whole complete covering, and I have this picture of evil trying to get in, like, trying to get into me, trying to get into God. You know, it says that the devil will go try to talk to God for a while and accuse us of stuff. And he's always trying to accuse us of stuff ourselves. And the enemy is always trying to do this penetration thing. And what I've been really studying right now is how the cells, how the DNA, our DNA, and I always say when God's strung together, you're 2 million base pair of DNA. He did it in a particular way. I mean, you are so unique. Now, those base pair of DNA live inside the cells, and the cells are made up of a nucleus that's positive and neutral and surrounded by electrons that are negatively charged. So you have, in the end, you have a positive neutral charge to every cell. Okay. But what I was learning was that in this cell, in this nucleus of the cell where the DNA lives, okay, you've got this here. And if this was like the size of, at first I thought it was the size of a bowling ball, but when I had a scientific researcher is working on this right now for me, she said, no, it's think more like a marble. Okay. The size of if the nucleus is the size of a marble, the negative influence of that electron cloud would be 1 mile away. And the electrons are teeny tiny compared to the size of the positive and neutral in the nucleus. So what we have basically is we have God over us, we have God in us, and then we have a whole lot of distance between us and evil unless we choose to engage, right? And it's kind of blowing my mind how exciting it is to have this much protection going on. Both for my thinking and my heart, my ministry, my relationships, the money, everything. It's so beautiful to recognize that God put that much space between the core of me, and if you would say evil, just beautiful. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it's that far out there. Sometimes it feels really close, right? But the enemy always comes to lie, kill, and destroy. So we have to just remember he's lying all the time about how powerful he is. Yeah. Your turn. What you thinking about right now?
Amen. Ooh, I love it. I love it that God has us from the inside and the outside. So last year I did a whole year long study on the names of God, and they are actually in our portal. And it really was a in-depth thing for me, because every week when I uncovered and unpacked each name of God, it really was revelatory for me. And this one was Jehovah Magain. And I went into that word study. It was, God is our shield. And not just the shield that's like this little shield in front of us. He is a 360 shield, right? Like a force field, like you're saying, around about us. So when you see that, my Lord is my shield, my strength and my shield. It's not just this little wimpy shit. This is like, we're in a bubble, like a protection. And I just love that, Marnie. I just love that the depth of, I too get visuals, you know, when I'm, you know, and it's usually about something the Lord is taking me through. So we need to walk it in real time and then we give it out, right?
Yeah. So I always say, you cannot give away something you don't have. If I don't have God's peace, I can't share it. If I don't know Jesus, I can't introduce him to people. It's like you have to, but that's so beautiful, right? We come into a situation where we have a need or we have a, you know, question or whatever, and we take it to Jesus. He communicates truth to us first. We get to enjoy that new level of understanding or peace or joy or whatever it is. And then we have it going forward to share with everybody that comes through our lives.
Yeah, I just got a visual of like this. Think of your favorite food, you know, and the Lord just prepares this, like, I love apple pie, right? So, but think of something nutritious, something delicious, and we get to partake with him one-on-one at the table first. Yeah. And then we have all this leftover, and it's like manna. We have to give it away because it's not going to be good leftover. You know, we have to give it away right away. And I just been feeling like it's just been on-time messages. Like we need to plan. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of our planning, the planning just gives us like a guideline, like a framework to work in. Mm-hmm. But then we need to give God and the Holy Spirit a lot of room to work and to speak to us in the midst of that framework.
Yeah.
And sometimes they remove the framework, but at least you have something to walk on.
Yeah.
Forward on. Yes.
Yeah, and I guess let's just talk about that for just a moment. So both of us speak also as well publicly and write. And if you're trying to write a book, for example, and you don't have any kind of framework, it's just going to not be easy to digest at all, right? Yeah. And same with speaking or mentoring or whatever. You want to have a framework, but then inside of that framework, you want to let the Spirit lead and just go wherever he would, you know, want you to go there. So I want to talk about personal perspectives. So why don't you start with who God is to you and not so long, because we could just talk about that all hour.
Well, you know, you had me thinking, and that's why I love doing life with Marnie, because we are just like, we're equally yoked. I got to say that. Mm-hmm. And you just put forth, you're having a summit in February about strategies of praying to God, talking to God. Yeah. And it was just like, boom, right away, you know, the Lord just gave it to me. I did this whole series in Psalm 119, where I literally looked at all the action verbs of what God was asking me to do. And I actually rewrote those in like a prayer form. So it was like really easy for me to go there and, you know, I'll be there in February.
Nice. Yay.
But that's what I love. Like the Lord, it is really about a love letter. And usually when I sit with the Lord, and you know what, honestly, I got to be really authentic to you ladies right now. I've been in a season. I just lost my mom this year and a couple other losses, and it's been a little challenging. And, you know, no matter where you are with the Lord, sometimes you just almost hit a ceiling. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized with those ceilings is that we're feeling that because God wants us even closer. Like he's drawing us in. It's almost like when you want, as a speaker, we know that when we want to draw someone in, we kind of pull back, right? Mm-hmm. And it draws mm-hmm. the audience in. But if you're like in their face, so
they feel like they want to move back. Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like that. If you're feeling distance, that distance, like, why can't I hear God? What's wrong with me? Just God, it's a holy setup, girl. It's a holy setup. God's like, really? And he's like, I want more time with you. I want to tell you things. And, oh, I'm just getting chills, goosebumps right now. There's the Holy Spirit saying, he loves you so much. Like, he is creating that desire and that hunger for us to get closer and closer to him. But that's when I just sit there and I'm like, just, I'm going to stay here, Lord, till you give me something. I need it. Like, it's like breathing. Yes. Like, Lord, you can take anything away from me, but just don't take your spirit from me. Right. And when we feel that distance, we're like, no, Papa, no, I need you. I want you. And we all go through this. So don't feel like what's wrong with me. Yeah. It's what's right with you. It's like God is drawing you in. So that's my perspective on that, Marnie.
Somebody just said to me the other day, when you're taking a test, the teacher is usually quiet.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's
so true. Just hang in there and just stay true to the straight, mm-hmm. true to what God's put in your heart. Yeah. So for me, like I think of God, so many things, and you and I both love the names of God so much. I think I have 540 some on my list now. There's so many names and character qualities of God. One of the things that I do is when I come to prayer, I usually see myself visualized. I see myself just running like a toddler, just like a little child running into the throne room of God, running across the throne, jumping on my Papa Daddy's lap. Mm-hmm. I always stick my right shoulder against his chest. And then I'm looking right at Jesus over here. And that's how I communicate with God. If Ephesians 2:6 says we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And I think we forget that sometimes, and we think that we're really just here on earth in these bodies, but our spirits are seated in the heavenlies with Christ right now. We have access boldly come into the throne room of God, boldly come into the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus did for us. So I love that. Personal perspectives on life and leadership. What are some thoughts pop into your brain?
Oh, wow. Well, leadership, it is. And the more I talk to leaders, especially women leaders, like pastors' wives or women mm-hmm. in that type of role, you know, sometimes it's a very lonely place. And, you know, that's why it's so important in this time frame, I believe, that the Lord is saying, you need to find your tribe. You know, no, it might not be people in your congregation, women, you know, in your congregation, but it may be other women like who are going through the same journey or dealing with the same struggles and the same challenges and the same joys. You know, there's so much joy in serving the Lord, but, you know, perspective is everything. And I think that this is the biggest, you know, the enemy loves to isolate. The enemy, like, you know, and even going through like a challenge, like losing a loved one, and you feel like you just want to just crawl in your shell. You don't really want to get out there. And the Lord is saying all the more you need to intentionally make connections. Like people, especially with grief, people really don't know what to say. You know, there's a book that that I use. It's called What to Say When You Don't Know What to Say. And it's awesome. And it's a really mm-hmm. quick read, but it's really great for when you don't know what to say to people. But when, you know, especially like in dealing with grief issues, we need to break out of our shell a little bit. We need to know like what is going to feed your soul and what is, you know, binging on Netflix is not going to do it. you know, sleeping, all that, you know, that's not going to do it. You know, really connecting with someone. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there and let them know that you're open for a conversation. Let them know you'd love to have a cup of coffee with them, or you're ready to do lunch or something like that. So leaders need self-care. I guess that's boiling it down. Leaders needs, because you know what? It's like I was just in an airplane and they always give you that spiel, you know, yep. Put your oxygen on you before you help the child or the person next to you, because you're not going to be any good, and you're going to, you know, and sometimes if we, you know, we're like these Energizer bunnies, we go, 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 go. We got to do the next thing, run after the next shiny object, you know, have the next goal as leaders, right? And if we don't watch the signs that we're running into burnout, we will hit a wall. Mm-hmm. We will hit a wall. And so we just need to, you know, listen. And I think having that time with the Father and saying, Lord, I'm feeling this way. Is this the right way for me? Mm-hmm. Is this the right timing? Is mm-hmm. this the right thing? And, you know, who do I need in my circle today?
Yeah.
Who do I need right now that mm-hmm. could speak into my life that, you know, we're right. better together, right, Marty?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just going to take it a step farther on life and leadership to the very next thought then. I had just earlier, so it is right now as we're doing this live, 2:25 my time, but at 12:34 my time, I just journaled to God. I'm exhausted. I feel a little let down, kind of sad, maybe afraid about money and about my website redesign. And what I felt really was aware. That's what I realized. Oh, I'm just aware that I'm having all of these feelings in the back, like in the back, you know, back 40 of my brain, these things are just hammering out. And so I just started breathing Jesus just right away. And then released, I kind of, in my mind, I just packaged all that stuff up into a gift box, you know, whatever. And I just gave it to Jesus. And then the next thing I heard was just go in my energy and enjoy your voice. So my son came in last night late. So we got home very late in the night. And then I was up by 4:30 like normal this morning. So by 12, I was exhausted. I was really exhausted. But God just gave me supernatural energy and the heart to go out. And we just had the best lunch together. And so I just think one of the things is don't just do your devotions in the morning and leave it for the day. Include Christ in every single moment. And especially, I always think, you know, you're breathing the air of prayer. And so you want to just, anytime you feel like you can't get your breath for whatever reason, whether it's stress or tired or just a thought comes through or whatever, when you have those thoughts, just run them to Jesus. He's right there. He's right there. He never leaves you. He is right there. He wants to actually take our burdens. And he is actually, anything that you find about him that's in the Bible, any truth that we find in the Bible about him, he's ready to be that for you too. Your provider, your comforter, your counselor, your friend, your redeemer, your restorer, your any of those 500 names, he's ready to be that for us anytime, right? But we only get to experience him that way if we believe that that's who he is. So when we watch the Pharisees come to him, they didn't believe in him. They never got a miracle. They never got a miracle. They never got anything. They just came. They said who they thought he was, and they left without any kind of a blessing at all. We can go through our lives like that, or we can say, God, I believe that you are who you say you are, and that I get to journey through this life here on the way to heaven. I get to journey through this part of eternity with you, active in my life. And I just love that. I love just having him be just the core central part of every thought, every decision, every breath, really just every breath.
Mm. I love what you said about expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, when we need a comforter and we're saying, Lord, I know you're comforting me in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could actually see that. Or I need more joy, or I need creativity. You know, this is who you are to me in this moment. And when I was going through one of my most life changes, you know, just a lot of that stuff was going on through my head, and I really had to lean on the Lord. And he gave me this, it was almost like, again, this little gift that you open up as a little girl, and you're just so excited
right.
to open it. And it was this idea that I would wake up every day and say, it's anything can happen day.
Hmm.
and it's anything can happen. Anything can happen day. Like I walk through the day expecting to see the goodness of God. And you know what? It happened. Like I was seeing all of these things happening, little things to big things. Like, and it was just like, give me that again, Lord. So I was just journaling that just a couple days ago, and you just reminded me of that. You know, our expectation level, our faith level, you know, and sometimes I just have to say this, when you're like, you know you're supposed to do something for God, and you're like been planning it, and now you're getting ready to launch it, and it's almost like being on that high dive board into the pool, right? You're right on the tippy toe edge of it, looking down, going, whoa, I don't know if I could do this because it's a way long, something long driven. And you know, you've been praying, you've been preparing, God's been showing you vision all along, and you're right on that, and that's the enemy. You're like, God really say, and this is the time where we gotta just put our expectations, Lord, I did this for you. I have put all my expectation, everything that, you know, is going to happen, you already know. And I am just trusting you with this. So that I'm good. Me and you, Jesus, give my parachute on, because we're going to die. We're going to jump into this thing. And I know you're going to catch me. That's right. So, you know, that's where I am too. And as leaders and as we're taking ground in the kingdom, we can't expect it to be a cakewalk. We can't. I mean, but we know we're more than conquerors.
Absolutely.
And every inch we take is ground the enemy doesn't have. So I don't care, ladies, if you're having just, well, it was just this. No, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just meeting five people in your, you know, apartment complex for a Bible study. It's amazing.
Right.
You know what? That's five people that are in the kingdom of God now. You know what I mean? Right. So you can't judge on bigness and smallness. What did the Lord say? That widow's mite was more than anybody else that put into the offering, right? Mm-hmm. So be encouraged.
I really like that childlikeness of it's anything can happen day. Yeah, I love that. My latest, I have all these descriptions of me in Christ, like my job titles or my names. And my most recent one is the infatuated bride of Christ. Because, you know, when you're infatuated, you're like, just, you'll do anything. You're crazy. You're crazy. The other person can do no wrong, which God literally can't. I know I'm safe here, but what happened is when that came to my mind, it gave me permission to be just as delighted with God as I want to be without any apologies, because I just find him absolutely delightful. And I love to be childlike with him. Like, I love that. It's just anything can happen day. It's an anything can happen moment. That's so great. Yeah. And, you know, even like the downside, like you were talking about sometimes, you know, the enemy comes against or whatever, even that, it's really how long it takes me to run it from the bothering me point where I recognize, hey, there's something here that doesn't belong in my thoughts, you know, to run it to Jesus. That's how long that takes. And yeah, you still may have trouble, but you've got Jesus. You know, Jesus is with you. He's taking care of it. And so it's not the same at all as trying to figure it out and, you know, trying to, you know, fight quiet. Thank you, God. We don't have to do that. Jesus did that on the cross, you know, so we just get to walk out and win the battle. So it's really awesome. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about preparing for one-on-one large groups. So preparing for one-on-ones, one of the things that I encourage you to do if you're just going into this is get some kind of a scheduling tool, so that it used to be for me that a lot of my time was spent back and forth in emails just trying to find a time that could work for both of us. And so the scheduling tool just allows that to just not be a hindrance or a Mount Everest to climb every time. Just put out the times that you're available, let people pick what works for them, and then go forward. Always, and I don't like typically, for example, before this interview or before a one-on-one, I don't typically spend a lot of time right there praying about it, because I'm walking in tandem with the Spirit. And so it doesn't take me a long time to get prepared, because I walk prepared. Now, if there's something going on that's, you know, shaking my peace, I when I put on the spiritual armor, the shoes of peace, I say, if my shoelaces are untied and I lost my peace somehow, I do pause and retie my shoelaces with Jesus, and then I move forward. But otherwise, I think it's like if you're thinking I'm going to just spend, you know, 15 minutes before my one-on-one mentoring or before my presentation to large group or whatever, I'm going to spend this little few minutes getting prepared and then I'll be ready. But you're not thinking about God the whole rest of the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's the mistake. You want to really be walking in the Spirit, listening constantly. So even during a one-on-one, when she says something that surprises you or you are instantly concerned for her or whatever, you just in that very moment, you're saying, Jesus, Jesus, you know, and Jesus is speaking to you with the next thing you're going to say. So that's what I would say is just be constantly prepared. And then what happens is that you get to mentor people at the grocery store in line and at the hairdressers. That just happened, you know, 2 days ago. And, you know, I mean, it's just like you get to mentor people wherever you are because you're always ready. You didn't have to like get prepared. And so we prepare as a lifestyle to be able to minister to anyone. Thoughts on the one-on-one preparation?
I love that. I was just writing that. Be ready in and out of season, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like when you're called to it, it's a calling. Mm-hmm. You know, God's already put the good stuff inside of you and you just need to let it out. But, you know, one thing that I do, a tip for my one-on-ones is that I always send out an email ahead of time,
a reminder
of the time and giving them an expectation of the things we're going to talk about. And if it's a sequential one-on-one, you know, whatever the homework was for the last time, I remind them of that and say, okay, now we're going to expand on this. And this is what we're going to cover, you know, in this session. And, you know, it's always about moving your, you know, your member, your student, your client, your mentee, from here to there. You know, you're trying to move them to a transition of that better place, mm-hmm. or that goal. And, you know, basically our job as a mentor or a coach is just to incrementally move them step by step by step. And, you know, you think sometimes when, you know, when people are new in coaching or mentoring, it's like they give them everything like a fire hose and the people are like,
yeah, right.
I don't even know what you just said.
Right.
And I just want to equate this to making a quilt. Years ago, there was a quilter that came to us. We had this community outreach center, and she said, I love to offer quilting classes. And I'm like, oh, I've always wanted to make a quilt. And she showed me her elaborate designs, and I'm just like, there's no way I'd ever be able to make one of those. She goes, oh, yes, you can. I'm like, so she goes, come to my class. So literally, I've used this analogy over and over again in my mentoring and coaching. She just took me step by step by step. It was picking out the fabrics, arranging the colors, then cutting out the strips, and then cutting out the blocks, and then sewing the blocks together. I mean, it was just like, and before you knew it, I had this beautiful design. Everything matched. Of course, that's the beauty of mentoring, right? You have someone giving you those step-by-step things. Right. So that's what I would say, another tip for one-on-ones. Don't give them too much. You know, that's the beauty of when you have that special time together, you could really take the temperature in the room. So are we going too fast? Are they there? Or do we, you know, did they finish that and now they're ready for the next step? You know, I think,
and each person's different and their speed and ability to process or what they know coming in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So it's so exciting. Excellent. To be used of God in that way. And when you see them making progress, it's like, I think that's the biggest joy I have. Like now helping to launch the baby birds out of the nest. You know, get so much joy from it. Mm-hmm. Just like if it were you doing it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And asking questions is huge. Not just always telling. No. But that people, Jesus modeled this so well. He just kept asking questions that surfaced the real issues that a person was dealing with so that as he's you know, as he's sharing with them, he can actually address what the underlying stuff is. So remember to give a pause, take a breath, and don't just dump. So that's good. Okay, preparing for large group sessions. For sure, for me, I start with usually a theme or a title, a direction. Sometimes I start with a passage or a whole chapter, maybe just one verse. And then from there, I just sit with Jesus. And a question I just love to ask is, what do you want me to know about this? What do you want me to know about this? He knows my audience, and I can't. I can know about my audience, but he actually knows every person who will be in the audience. Mm-hmm. And so he can help me prepare in such a way that I am hitting all the hearts that are there and not just the theme. So I love to just ask him to go, you know, what do you want me to know about this? A lot of times just a couple ideas will come to my mind. And then also just again, because we're walking with Jesus all the time, we can just trust that the things that are coming to our heart are from him. That's why he's prepared you for this moment. It's like the firefighter doesn't have to stand there and say, do you think I should put the, you know, the hose on the hydrant? I don't know. You know, he knows he's been there. He's done that. So he knows what to do. And I think you know what to do. If God's got you here, it's probably because he's given you a lot of boot camps, trainings all the way to get you here. So yeah. Just have some faith that the ideas that are coming to your mind are the ones from him, and then go forward. And I always just go forward with an open hand. So don't marry your ideas in such a way that he can't, you know, get at them once you have them. Keep your ideas in an open hand and let him change them around, add, take away, you know, whatever he wants to do. And then when you're standing up there, also just be free to listen to the Holy Spirit lead you to tell a story you hadn't realized you were going to tell or whatever. He's so great that way. How about for you to prepare for a large group?
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. And sometimes I'll watch the replays of some of my group sessions and I'm like, wow, that was like, because I knew it wasn't for me. The Lord just downloaded that. I just needed to be the open, like you said, the flow through vessel.
Yes,
Bernie, for me, I think cadence, having a choreography of, if it's an hour, like I know that what I always start my sessions, usually my private, you know, group sessions with a worship video or something like that, to, as people are filtering in the room, that the presence is already there, right? And then I always begin with prayer and, you know, kind of just expectation. This is what this meeting's about. So this is like my choreography.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is that, because I record all my sessions so that I could reuse the trainings, so I'll do my training first, but I will pause in between some things and say, is everybody with me? Or ask a question in the chat so that if, you know, people, you know, they, a lot of times a question or a comment will trigger something else that the Lord will give me to say, just like you said, you're like, it'll flow. But then at the end, I always end with an extensive Q&A where they really feel, everyone in the audience feels like, whether it's either through chat or if it's a smaller group, we will all be on camera and they could raise their hand and ask their question in person. And I love that because so much richness comes out of that. I always say that the people that I mentor and coach, they actually teach me. Like, because there's questions or, you know, it's like a diamond. You have facets of the diamond that you can't see from your angle. And they bring like a whole nother ingredient to the mix. And, you know, we're always learning. So I think that's really good for group, you know, be engaged with your audience and give them opportunity to participate.
Yeah. And I think what you did was you addressed the exact conversation we're having. And I was thinking about like speaking in front of a large group. But you actually addressed the mentoring part, which was what we're supposed to be talking about today. So bravo for that. Yeah. But I think in the mentoring sessions, absolutely. And when I was learning how to do, before there was such a thing as Blog Talk Radio, which is what I went to after TELUS conferences. That's what I hosted for years before I went to Blog Talk Radio and did the radio show. We would get up to 100 of us on a phone call, and then I would lead a training. And the guy that taught me how to do it, he called it surfacing the wisdom of the group. And I love that, where, like you say, you and I continue to learn from our audiences all the time. You don't stop learning. You just bring, and typically I say what you are as a mentor is you're just a little farther down on the road mm-hmm. that the person wants to walk down. You're just a little farther ahead. You don't have to be eons ahead, you know, and you certainly don't have to know anything, everything, and you can't. So just remember God's got you there to help somebody move forward a few steps or even a quantum leap, whatever it is to go forward. Yeah. All right. So clues that we watch for in ourselves and in other people that expedite healing, growth, and joy on the journey. So why don't I have you start on that one?
Oh boy. Well, I think a clue could be a trigger. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're somewhere and everything is going great and all of a sudden, you know, someone just says something or does something and you've got this little, it didn't feel too good. And she didn't really mean it anyway, but why am I feeling like this? Yeah. You know, when we get triggered, instead of reacting, we need to say, Lord, why am I feeling like this? What's going on? Show me. And we really need to respond and not react. I think, you know, either in small intimate sessions with for like husband, wife, or kids, or best friends, or whatever, you know, let's really, what's triggering? So that's a clue. And it will really reveal to us, oh, maybe I do need help. Maybe this is something I didn't totally, you know, or get over, or the Lord's taking me deeper. And I always have the analogy of an onion skin. The Holy Spirit's such a gentleman that he won't rip us apart. You know, he just gently, layer by layer, you know, reveals things. And, you know, we're not perfect. We're none of us are perfect. So we're going to, you know, as we're ready for it, the Lord will show us, but it's so rich when we finally get it.
Yeah.
And we show up, I think this is it. He's really been showing me where the joy on the journey is showing up to the party full and not empty.
Yeah.
So I just did a talk last month and I had an analogy of two water bottles. One was empty, one was full. And when we have these triggers or the whatever this thing is in us, and we enter a room and we're feeling insecure or feel like a little imposterish, we'll go into the room with our bottle empty, needing everyone to fill us up so we can feel okay, that we could feel accepted, we could feel good enough to be in that room. When honestly, we need to just celebrate who we are and the things we bring to the table. You go into that party, into that room with our full water bottle, filling everybody else's cup, you know, knowing that, like, you just like look at someone and say, oh, your eyes match your shirt so beautifully. You know, there's always something you can say to fill somebody else up. And you know what I found, Marnie, is that as we do that, we get filled up. Mm-hmm. We get filled up. So I hope I answered that question. And that does really touch on the elements of healing that we need.
Yeah. So I learned several years ago, I learned that for me, a lot of times I don't have a big full-blown trigger going on, but I will notice that as I'm talking, someone will tip their head or they'll squint their eyes just a little teeny bit, like I'm trying to understand what you're talking about, or that was weird, you know, like that. I now watch for small cues from people that I'm speaking to that I may be off somewhere here. And then I follow that trail. So whether it's a big trigger, and when we're talking about a big trigger, like I was talking to a gal just the other day, and she was being so very triggered by her ex, who was actually being quite abusive. And I said, if you keep going back to him at this point, if you let him into your space, you're expecting yourself to be able to handle it. And you can't. You're like a shook up bottle, soda bottle. He comes in your life, he shakes you up, and then you expect to be able to take that lid off and not blow. There are times when life is too much for you to do in the way that someone else is asking you to do it. And you have to actually just step back and get some space alone with God, get some space alone separate from that. There's times when the triggers come, like you were talking about, or wow, you noticed this, and but it's doable for you to work it through with God, you know, just in the process of life. And then there's, you know, kind of farther, like where I live most of the time now, very rarely triggered anymore. But at this point, I'm looking for where I might be believing a lie. I want them all gone. I want them all gone. I want to be walking in truth. And so, you know, just watching for the clues from someone else to help you to identify this, but to just walk in truth ourselves. And we are on a healing path. So we, by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed already. You know, this is a promise to us from Jesus, what he did on the cross and what he did before the cross with those, you know, 39 lashes. But we have to actually by faith receive that. It doesn't just automatically happen for us any more than salvation automatically happens. We have to receive it. So just to watch for that growth. What are you doing to grow yourself, Lynette, so that you have more to give to others?
Yeah, I think really getting in a topic, you know, like right now I'm in a season and I just bought a devotional. I love sometimes these devotionals, especially when you feel like I just need some guidance to get me, you know, to be disciplined so that I'm doing it every day. I love devotionals for that reason. So it's the power of prayer in entrepreneurship, you know, so mm-hmm. it's really geared for like, how do we bring God into our business or into our ministry? You know, even though you have a ministry or a nonprofit, it's still a business. You have yeah. business things you have to right. take care of, right? Right? There's a yeah. bank account and there's, yep. you know, reports and there's things like that. And it's like all that stuff. But, so that's where I'm at right now. But I always have a theme for the year. And then I break it, chunk it out into what will I cover and focus on each month that goes along with that theme. So for my growth in this, and I always just don't decide on it. I seek God, and yeah. He actually gave it to me early this year. It was in September when he said, 2024, you're going to focus on friendships and relationships, how to foster authentic relationships and friendships, especially with women in our life, with uh-huh. significant people in our lives, or yeah. parents or siblings, people. So that's going to be, you know, so now I'm really turning my eyes to, and again, you know, it's like anything can happen day. It's like when you're really focusing on that theme, it's like, let's say you just look for, you're going to get a new car and you looked at a blue car. Now your eyes are seeing every blue car on the road. It's a kind of same idea. So I'm looking at friendships. I'm looking at relationships. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting my hands and my, you know, my thoughts in the word, you know, looking at different relationships like, you know, Jonathan and David, like, you know, Esther and yeah. Mordecai, right. and Ruth and Naomi, you know, these right. relationships that were, they were pivotal. They were destiny relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really helpful for me is to know what's the now word for my now assignment, yeah. and to really flow in that with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't have a 2024 theme yet. My 2022 theme was I get to say yes to God every single time. And that was so amazing because I had always thought that I was saying yes to God every single time, at least trying to, or I should have, or I would have, or I could have, but sometimes I didn't. But then in 2022, I realized I get to, and that changed it for me from something I should be doing to something that I get to do, a privilege. And then in 2023, it shifted to I get to say an instant joyous yes to God every single time. So I am so curious what 2024 has for me for that. I'm not sure. 2023 has been a lot about me getting very clear about the goodness of God. And I think in our culture, what's happened is we've come up with formulas. So we pray for the sick, and then if they don't get better, then we make up a story about how God wanted them sick or something. You know what I mean? We make up stories because we don't see what we thought we were going to see with the formula we were using. And we label God a bad dad. And that's just so wrong. And in fact, the verse is right before where we blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you know, that that's the unforgivable sin. The verse is right before that were the Pharisees calling what Jesus was doing good, bad. That's what it was about. It was about us calling what God is doing bad. It's like, wow. And I think I have been guilty of that sometimes when I have followed a formula about asking for whatever I needed or whatever, and it didn't happen the way I thought. And it's like, God, you know, why are you doing this to me? Okay, God is always for our good, yeah. Always. No matter what is happening to you, God is for your good. And so I feel like this year has been a lot with this instant joyous yes. It's removed a lot of the pain that happens between when God asks me to do something and when I actually say yes. It's just collapse that right down. And so it's been a year of much less pain in the journey because there hasn't been the fight. It just removed any kind of fight from me. And it gave me the permission to just say instantly, yes, yes, whatever you want me to do. Yes, 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 yes.
I have to share a quote here. One of my friends, Dr. Stephen Crane, we were at the conference together with him and my friend Maria. Anyways, he said this. He's just such a kind man. Mm-hmm. And his quote was, God's no's are at least as kind as his yeses.
Yeah.
And I literally was dumbfounded. I just was like sitting there. I'm like, wait, say that again. And it just really filled me. Like we were saying about the nose and like, oh, you know, God is not an unkind dad. And he knows the other side of that mountain. Mm-hmm. He knows what's down that road. So his nose are just as kind as his yeses. And I said, well, I'm going to quote you, Dr. Stephen. He goes, well, you don't have to do that. I just love that. God. Yeah. And then there was a Spurgeon quote and that I sent to him. I said, this is what Charles Spurgeon said. God is too good to be unkind, too wise to be mistaken. And when you cannot trace his hand, you can trust his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that, you know, God has our best in mind. Even if it's a difficult lesson we're learning, mm-hmm. God always will bring. So Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses. Yeah. And you know that, and God will work all things, you know, for the good. Not all things feel good or seem good, but he will work all things for the good for those who love him, those are called according to his purpose. That means that there is a purpose in mind, but it's got to be aligned with his purpose.
Right.
And, you know, so that's where we're going back to the beginning of this conversation, Marnie, you know, that when we get to have that one-on-one time with the Father.
Yeah.
We just have that peace of knowing, okay, yep, this is the way, walk ye in it, right? This mm-hmm. is the way we should go.
Yeah.
That, you know, that peace will carry us. And I wrote that in my notes here, when your shoelaces are untied. That is, you know, we just need to stop mm-hmm. a minute.
Stop a minute.
Get our peace and say, okay, no, I know, mm-hmm. Father, this is what I say. You either win or you learn. We don't ever fail. We get to learn from maybe, okay, we're not going to do it that way again. Or, you know, we'll do it better this way. Or the Lord is really showing me wisdom that I can give to others.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And
like you said, we're just a couple steps ahead in one area. Right. Not in the areas.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. And that's if you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for someone who is modeling the kind of Christ-likeness in whatever role it is that you're trying to understand better, whether it's just to be a Christian woman or whether it's to start a ministry or whatever it is, find someone who's ahead of you on that path, who's doing it in a way that honors God. And if you're looking, if you're looking to be a mentor, then the key for you is to have a very close personal relationship with God so that you can bring them more than what you can bring them. You actually want to have God be the one that's filling your life so that when they're drinking from your life, they're not getting you. They're actually getting the beautiful version of you that God is flowing through. They're actually getting God, God's wisdom, God's words, God's heart, God's love, God's patience, all that flowing through you. And yeah, we love you and just love God, love each other. It's just a fun place to be. Lynette, thank you so much for being here, for sharing this time. Thank you for sharing your life with so many. I love you. I love your ministry. Daughters Unlimited Daughters United. And is it org or is it com?
It is org.
Yes. Daughters United.org. Yep. Brilliant. Okay. If you guys want to go over there, what do they find when they get there?
Oh my goodness. Well, we are revamping our website to include some of our newest trainings. We have a Mission Builder Academy that is not on there yet. All of our history, you could find how we started, what we stand for, different outreach projects. So basically, in a nutshell, we gather, we grow, and we go. And we do that in three ways. Mm-hmm. We gather in events, we grow through our Mission Builder Academy now, and then we go when we're, you know, doing outreach projects or we're mentoring or we're serving in some capacity. So there's a lot of opportunity to get involved there. And you can find more information about our Mission Builder Academy. Right now it's being housed at LynetteRainville.com.
Okay.
So we're merging those things this year in 2024. So that's kind of me stepping on the diving board going, okay, it's work.
That's great. So you guys want to be sure to go check that out. And you also, if you need a speaker, Lynette's available through womenspeakers.com to speak for you too, for your events. And you can also join us. She'll be one of our speakers at the Spiritual Growth Summit in February. So that's exciting. All right. So Lynette, thanks so much for being here.
It was so great. Thank you so much, Marnie, for having me.
Yeah, and you guys, thanks a lot for joining us. If you know of someone who could benefit from this conversation, just go ahead and share it with them. And otherwise, we'll see you next time. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.